One of Russia's leading opposition activists remains in a medically induced coma after he was allegedly poisoned. The accusations and denials in the case of Alexei Navalny continue to dominate international headlines. And with me via Skype for our weekly look at some of the key global stories of the coming days is the BBC's Rich Preston. And Rich, let's start with this case. What's the latest?
Well, he's now in Germany. He was flown there over the weekend. You may remember he fell ill last week on a flight back to Moscow. He passed out on the plane. Cell phone footage filmed by passengers showed him groaning and convulsing. And the accusation was pretty much from the offset by his supporters that he had been poisoned. They said that he had drunk tea in the airport in Siberia before boarding his flight. That's what they were pointing the finger at. And he was in a medically induced coma. Now, we call him an opposition activist, but really that's doing him a disservice because he's arguably the most prominent, most vocal critic of Russia's president, Vladimir Putin. And Mr. Navalny's anti-corruption projects have targeted those at the very top of President Putin's government. And it hasn't gone unnoticed. This is not the first time he's been targeted. He's been arrested, fined. He claims he's been beaten and tortured in police custody. And he says he's been poisoned before. This time seems much more serious, though. Now, from the off, his supporters were pushing to evacuate him to Europe straight away, but the authorities in Russia were originally slightly obstructive to that. However, he is now, as I say, in Germany. Russian doctors said there was no evidence of poisoning. German hospitals say test results indicate he was poisoned. Germany's Chancellor Angela Merkel say he's being given special security in his hospital bed.
Well, Rich, what is the Russian government saying about this?
Well, not much, as you'd expect. They're often tight-lipped when it comes to Alexei Navalny. They did wish him a speedy recovery at the time, but as you'd imagine, absolute flat refusal of any poisoning or attack on Mr. Navalny. Both Germany and France have offered their support to him. The European Union says it wants a full, transparent investigation into what happened. That will dictate the response both of Russia and of the international community in the coming days and weeks.
All right. So, Rich, you're also going to be keeping an eye on rising tensions between Turkey and its neighbor, Greece. What's going on there?
Well, this is all down to Turkey's exploration for oil and gas in the waters around the country. Now, on Friday, President Erdogan of Turkey announced the discovery of a major field of natural gas in the Black Sea. And when I say major, Mark, I mean major. 320 billion cubic meters of gas, the biggest find in Turkey's history, which Mr. Erdogan says he wants to start exploiting and delivering to consumers and ramp up Turkey's energy exploration in the Mediterranean. And that's what's not gone down well with many on the international stage, in particular, as you say, its neighbour Greece. Now, there's a long-running rivalry between the two, which has manifested itself in various fronts over the years, Cyprus, Greece objecting to Turkey's attempts to join the European Union, and so on. But this is now is how it's come to head now. Now, in some areas, this is what complicates it. In some areas where Turkey's looking for oil and gas, up to 8 different countries claim ownership of the areas being explored. Not just Greece, but France, Libya, Egypt, even the United Arab Emirates. So the international community have called Turkey provocative in its oil and gas explorations. And that's because they've taken a very assertive front. They've even sent their military ships to accompany their drilling vessels to make their presence known, to assert themselves. Other nations have responded to that. France got involved, for example, by sending 2 fighter jets and a naval ship to the region as a warning to Turkey. So tension, as you say, ramping up in the region.
Well, Rich, how does all this change things? And what specifically will you be watching for this week?
Well, until now, Greece has arguably had the upper hand on the international stage. It's a member of the European Union. It's a member of the Eurozone. Its currency is the euro, so its economy is supported by that, and so on and so on. This find gives Turkey some clout. The complicating factor, Mark, is that in spite of their differences, both Turkey and Greece are members of NATO. So technically allies, but allies working against each other. So there's 3 main fronts we're going to be looking for movement on in the coming week. Diplomatic, whether any leaders from these countries which have been at loggerheads will get together to discuss things, and German ministers have already said they'd like to discuss things tomorrow, Tuesday. Economic, what the impact of this gas find is on the Turkish economy. And militarily, whether there will be any more standoffs in the Mediterranean between the Turkish Navy and French fighter jets.
All right. And finally, Rich, there have been a lot of cultural events, sporting events that have had to be canceled because of COVID-19 and the pandemic. But one is still going ahead and it begins this week. What's going on?
Yeah, that's right. This is the Tour de France, arguably the world's most famous cycling event. It gets turning on Saturday. That's when the pedals start moving. Now, it was briefly postponed because of the pandemic. It usually starts in July, but as I say, finally going ahead. And that's significant because ever since it started in 1903, it's only ever been cancelled during the two world wars. So for the Tour de France to not go ahead is a big deal. So former Tour de France champion Chris Froome says the fact it is now going ahead shows that there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Now, I would imagine there will be some differences in this year's race than in previous years, though, right?
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one to watch. I mean, the teams are going to have to work differently for a start. You can't have 12 people around a bicycle whilst also trying to incorporate social distancing. That's going to be very hard to do. There's going to be fewer people on the streets, and that's significant because the Tour de France is a huge cultural event in France. Every year the route changes, and when it gets announced what the route's going to be this year, it's big news for the villages and towns it's going to pass through. They all get spruced up, but because of lockdown rules in France and social distancing measures in place, there's not going to be as many people being able to take part in the festivities. So that's going to be quite jarring for many French people. There'll be no international element. Whilst the Tour is mainly a French event, it often passes through neighbouring countries. It passed through the UK a few years ago. Not this time. It's all going to be contained within France. And training for the athletes will be different as well. It'll be difficult for those taking part because they'll have operated under different lockdown rules depending on the countries they live in. Some will have been able to hop on their bike perfectly normally. Some will have been stuck inside whilst trying to train for one of the world's most famous road cycling events. So very interesting to watch it this year. It gets started on Saturday.
All right. That is our yellow jersey wearer, Rich Preston from the BBC. Rich, as always, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Good to talk to you.